This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
How about this instead? You tell me something you want, and I'll wish it for you.
Serious?
Sure. For old time's sake.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. But I don't want it to be too big. There's consequences in that. But something small. Something safe. Something like... a beer. An ice cold beer. Even better.
Beers for everyone in the village!
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is a podcast that, very much like the Jabberwocky, has been trapped for thousands of seconds. We also talk about ABC's hit series Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Well, hit, it's a series.
I was going to say
hit. Yeah.
It's not a hit.
I usually say that for the regular Once Upon a Time. How you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. It's been a while, hasn't it? Wasn't it like...
For Wonderland, at least.
Yeah, for Wonderland. It's been since the end of November, I believe.
I thought it was the first week of December. Either way, it's been multiple months.
Forever. And, as far as...
Sorry.
As far as the regular Greetings from Storybrooke episodes, we've put out a few... more related to the main series, but we got some Wonderland mentions in here and there. I think actually the last episode we put up, which was a interview with, I forget the name of the website right now, but I know we got into Wonderland a bit on that one, so
right,
you know, we haven't been talking a lot of Wonderland, but now it's...
There hasn't been a lot to talk about. They didn't release much over the break.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty dry. I mean, even for...
Other than the apology.
But
kind of, yeah.
Even for once proper, too, until like the last week or so, then they've just been blowing up everywhere. But you know what? I almost forgot. We usually have a guest. Did we book someone this week?
We booked somebody this week.
Who did we book, Anne-Marie?
We booked Anne-Marie.
We booked... Yay. You? Oh, wait. Oh, the other Anne-Marie.
My other personality. No, the other Anne-Marie. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, you may remember Anne-Marie from the last episode of Wonderland we did, actually. She was on for the finale, too.
So, I was.
So I think we have to begin and end every season or half season of Wonderland with you on the show.
I'm totally in for that.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, I guess, why don't we just get right into it? Anne-Marie, could you help us out with our episode summary here?
All right. This ought to be interesting. I haven't read it. I forgot about it. The knave's now a genie and Lizard his master. He's a little slow, so she has to move faster. Alice is cranky, about their third wheel. She just knows the queen is looking to steal. Jafar hunts for a monster. Will wishes for beer. All in this week's episode, Nothing to Fear.
And Nothing to Fear. We're back. Will's a genie.
Will's a genie.
We have
very in the bottle.
Briefly, just at the beginning. How do I always do that? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll start with Anne-Marie number two, the one who's not on every episode of this. overall, what'd you think of the episode?
A little slow. I was considering how it ended. I was hoping it would pick up with a little bit more speed, but it is Wonderland, so I guess I kind of expected it.
Expected it to be a little slow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like actually I was really scared when I saw the preview clip, which was the scene of them kissing in front of the fireworks with the whole necklace.
Oh, I wanted
thing.
To fall asleep watching that.
I was like, this is the scene they put out to advertise the show. But I mean, I guess, you know, truth in advertising and everything.
Yeah, really.
Well, to be honest, I did not see any of the Wonderland spoilers because they've just not been putting them out at all here.
Mm-hmm. That was the only one.
Yeah,
that was absolutely the only thing they gave. And that was only like a few days before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you weren't behind.
Good.
Okay, Anne-Marie numero uno, what did you think of the episode overall?
Oh, Wonderland. I keep trying. I'm trying so hard to get into this. And
yeah, and you were a huge fan of the finale too, right?
Exactly. I love the finale. And like Anne-Marie said, it ended so high and so high energy that they did not take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't.
They at all. Like it just was slow. It was, I felt really, really slow. And I know a lot of our listeners don't agree with that and they thought it was awesome. So yay. But yeah, it was not one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of aspects. It just, the journey seemed really long to get to them.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was better than a lot of episodes the last half season. But I mean, that's not saying much.
Yeah.
I guess our standards are higher nowadays.
Yeah. Especially with how good Once was.
Seriously. Like, that's the problem is that they're associated with each other, whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the main show is doing amazing things and ended so strong that I don't know. Did the interns write this show? I always blame the interns. Yes. Sorry.
Speaking of interns.
Who was the writer?
Oh, I'm not sure who the writer was.
I'll look. Hold on. Okay. Keep talking.
Emery will look. Yeah, but interns, they work for free generally, and they're pretty cool. And sometimes they write episodes like this one. No, it was a little bit better than your average Wonderland episode,
right.
But it just, I mean, that's just not great. And the Jafar stuff just gets me every time. He's so like melodramatic, like that the scene in the throne room with his dad, where it's like dun 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 dun. Get him away, you know.
Yeah.
I loved that reaction, though. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. See, his dad was awesome.
It's almost like I think they should even they instead of because they're trying to do dark and brooding. And a lot of times it's just silly and funny. Maybe they should push him more towards just silly and funny Jafar, you know, just over the top mustache twirling villain, which I think he's playing a bit, but I don't know if it's intentional.
Right.
It's not supposed to be funny, you know, but did you find that writer, Anne-Marie?
I'm working on it. I'm on the IMDb.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and start off with my first point here. Which,
yeah, start talking.
The big thing that was in this episode that we've been waiting on, you know, since they started the show and everything was the Jabberwocky. Now, the Jabberwocky is a little smaller and a little more humanoid than I remember the original Jabberwocky being and everything. But it was an interesting twist. I do kind of hope that eventually it'll be revealed that she has the power to transform into a dragon like Maleficent or something, just so we get that kind of monster vibe going on. And I did notice the dagger that she was stuck up there with. It kind of reminded me of Rumple's dagger. So I kind of thought maybe she's the Dark One of Wonderland. What do you think, Anne-Marie, number two?
I actually felt the same thing when Jafar took the dagger out. It was like, ooh, that's very Rumple-like.
Mm-hmm. And especially because he wanted to hang on to it, right?
Yes, definitely. I actually had to Google Jabberwocky because I know it kind of. Mm-hmm. But I had to look it up to see what the Jabberwocky was and then got all the pictures of it. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that was kind of disappointing then.
Yeah, that's nothing like the beware the Jabberwock, my son.
I know. And they're all like, beware of it. It's like this horrible animal. And you're like, she's not that scary looking. I mean, I guess it's her character, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess, in the next couple of episodes.
To be fair, though, I think they did a really good job of kind of building up the danger that she presented. Like, you know, yes. the guard that was there not to keep the Jabberwocky in, but to keep other people out for their own safety.
I like that.
Yeah, but I do find that was the same as to tie it in with Once Proper, the whole Peter Pan play up and how dangerous he is. And it took me episodes to really get into that one. Because he didn't feel like he was dangerous at all. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely see that. And, you know, besides that whole thing where she was, like, stretching all weird and everything when she fell, like, she really didn't come off as incredibly intimidating. Yeah, she's a psychic or whatever, and she can get into your head. But, you know, if the psychics are a dime a dozen, right, we really didn't get a chance to see. I mean, I have five in my drawer.
You have five psychics in your drawer?
I do. They're very small. They're like eight inches tall.
Going back with the blah, 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 the dagger thing. But she wasn't held up with a dagger. It was a full on sword.
Well, it was
shaped.
Between.
No.
It was about the length of his forearm.
If I recall.
It wasn't a full sword.
But it was not as small as Rumple's dagger.
No, it was bigger than Rumple's dagger, but it wasn't a full-on sword either. So it was kind of like an in-between.
I'm not a dagger, not yet a sword.
Seriously?
Now I'm actually going to look and get a reference on this, because that's a very important distinction.
It really is.
Dagger versus sword.
This is a very research-heavy
It is.
Because I'm really struggling to find.
If we didn't already have the episode title picked out, we could call this Come, Google with Us. Alice versus the search engine.
Yes. Nice. Let's
see here.
Okay.
I'm looking for the sword. There's a fireworks, and then there's the death that we'll get into here in a little bit.
Oh, that was sad. That was sad.
Oh, yeah.
That one made me sad. Okay, I give up on the writer, by the way.
I think you could call it a very small sword or a very large dagger. I'm looking at it right now. It about splits the difference.
Okay.
But do you guys know who the actress was who was playing the Jabberwocky?
I just closed it.
Oh, I still have it open, I think.
Okay. Seriously, it should be, you know, Alice versus the search engine.
Yeah.
Peta Sargent. Peta Sargent? Really?
See, now I'm Googling it.
Okay, I did not recognize her in that one. Sorry.
We might need an edit.
Okay, let's see here. She was in Crawl Space. Never heard of it. She was in Can No One Noir? Satisfaction, Canal Road, All Saints. Yeah, she's been in nothing that I've seen. Georgia the Jungle, too.
They made a second one of that?
They did. It was direct to video. I forget. I know they replaced.
Of course it was direct to video.
They replaced Brendan Fraser with Christopher Showerman. Okay, and now I'm closing IMDb. And why don't we go ahead to your point, Anne-Marie?
What was my point? Hold, please.
B.
Okay, when Cyrus was released from being a genie, did he retain powers? Or was he just smart? Because he was like, no, I can tell in her heart of hearts that she wants to do this.
Yeah, my interpretation of that was that he didn't necessarily retain, you know, magical powers or anything, but he retained everything he
knowledge.
Learned while he had. Yeah. Yeah. He could remember how to make the finding spell or
the finding.
Spell.
That was another thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I think, you know, just over millennia of doing the whole genie gig, he got really good at reading people, which I mean, people who have been around far less longer than that are. You have that kind of innate ability, too, you know, so I can definitely see that.
I think it had been a millennia.
You don't think?
No. Because he said he searched for his brothers for 100 years, which we'll get into that in a minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then he gave up. But the way it sounded, he hadn't given up for a very long time.
Yeah. And I remember from a previous episode, he did say a long time, but I never had the feeling that it was like more than 1,000 years or something.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think it was ridiculous.
Yeah, see, I think I always just assume like the backstory for a genie is starts 3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, and it goes on from there. But that's a me problem. That's not Cyrus's fault.
Well, I think it's more of also like Arabian Nights, like 1001 Nights. I think they give you the feeling that it's a couple of hundred years generally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I understand where you're going with.
Yeah, it's like I keep wanting to jump in with some stuff about the brothers and all that, but I guess we have that
We'll get there soon.
But okay, Amory, number two, you have a point here.
Yeah, I was really happy to see Lizard. Mm-hmm. And I, like, throughout the episode, just loved her facial expressions, like, especially when she found out that she was Will's master. You could just see in her eyes, like, this, what am I going to do with this? And then she sighed. And I'm like, really? Come on. Like, I really enjoyed her as a character. And then they killed her off in the end. And we didn't get to see a whole lot of her because she was introduced quite quickly and very short in the first half of the season.
Right.
And so this episode was definitely Lizard heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, then she died.
Yeah, right. It's like she's had like 20 minutes of screen time, I think, in the whole series. And she's also one of the most compelling characters. And then they killed her off.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we were talking about it yesterday, I think. And I was like, Lizard is like the strongest female character in the entire series. And she's had by far the least amount of screen time. Mm-hmm. It's not right.
Yeah, like from the moment she was introduced, I was like, I like her. She did a really good job portraying the character she needed to portray and really enjoyed just her like little quirks in her face and the way that she reacts. And now she's gone.
Yeah,
so I'm not happy.
It's like with Alice in a lot of ways, I think we still don't know a lot about who she is as a person, you know, what kind of, you know, stuff she's made out of. But with Lizard, you got it in the first like 30 seconds of her appearing on screen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you knew exactly who she was, exactly what kind of quirks she had. Like, she was just well drawn right from the get go. And the thing that really bugs me about this is I thought that was actually probably the strongest aspect of the episode was that whole story, like her and Will, that whole plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is I hate to see her go so much, especially considering – I know when we were talking about the episode before it aired, Anne-Marie, that you know that was the thing we were most excited about was, oh, we heard the Lizard was returning. Yes,
right.
Our favorite character next to the Knave is coming back.
Yeah.
They kill her off.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I know that as fans or as viewers, you never really want one of the main characters to be killed off because it kind of, you feel like part of the story gets killed off. But for this show at the moment, I think I would have preferred one of the main characters to go over.
Absolutely.
Jafar.
Yeah.
Jafar.
You will Alice. Have no villain, but sure.
Well, you could always reconvert the Red Queen, or you know, the Caterpillar could really slide into a villain role pretty easy. He's kind of on the fence.
True, but then you'll have to do the CGI better on him.
This is true. It was pretty dodgy in this episode.
Yeah, I thought it was. I knew weird you would that get he that. Brought his hookah with him. Have hookah will travel apparently.
he looked
Not
like a
backpack.
He looked more like a. Like a big blob of jello than like an insect in this one. I think it's because, you know, usually when we see him, it's down in his little underground club, so it's dark. So, you know, they don't have to worry about the texture, but then they bring him into the throne room, and it's just very obvious that they did not spend a lot of time refining.
No, but other than him, I don't think any of the other like little effects and stuff were as bad as they had been.
This is true. This is true.
No, because when you look at Tweedle's head.
Tweedle's head wasn't terrible. The floating piece of Red Queen's dress wasn't bad.
You know what, actually, with the whole Tweedle thing, the thing I thought was worse than the, you know, the actual head cutoff effect was the people walking behind, you know, when he slices the guy's head off to give Tweedle a body. But like the people walking behind, you could totally tell it was shot at two completely separate times. Like the perspective was off really bad. But
it creeped me out that Jafar was like walking around with the head though.
That was a little creepy.
Guess you couldn't get ahead. Oh,
that was tacky.
And the thing about that was, again, it was played straight. If they were playing it for laughs, it would have worked. It would have worked great. It would be a great addition to the series. But they're playing it straight, and it's just so bad that it's funny, unfortunately. But something else I noticed is, they've kind of hit the point home. And I mean, a lot of genie fiction does this. That's a genre, right? Genie?
Totally. Genie fiction.
But, you know, the wishes always turn out bad, or they have a weird twist to them. And I noticed in this one, even the wish for beer ended up having just like a horrible effect, because if it hadn't been for the beer flowing, I don't think Lizard would have worked up the courage to try and, you know, break the truth to Will about her crush on him and everything. And, you know, quid pro quo, she would still be alive, because she wouldn't have said, you know, I wish I could make you feel something for me.
Right.
I just think it's funny, even though, like, in the context of the episode, you walk away from that wish thinking, oh, well, at least one wish finally worked out for the best. You know, they had a lot of fun and everything. I got back to thinking about it, you know, that wish killed her.
Makes me wonder if you wish for no wishes, what would happen?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know. It seems like the default is just, if you wish for something that seems impossible, they just kill you. And somehow that ironically makes the wish come true. So you want no wishes, you're dead.
Ha. Yeah, and done with you.
And done and done and done. But keeping with the genie theme, this was a very genie heavy
details. Yes. So as we mentioned, because it was pretty big, but yet not so much, that we know we have the three genies. Well, there was revealed that it was Cyrus and his two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how they got put in these lamps.
Yeah, well, he does reference that they were all cursed and put in the lamps
at the same time.
But you kind of got to wonder what the backstory is there. And one thing I'm wondering is, you know, I was kind of under like the assumption, like where does Sydney fit into all the? Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah, that was
okay.
That was exactly my point.
Actually, why don't you go ahead and state it then?
Yeah, no, and I agree with Anne Marie. I want to know how that plays out, because I'm curious to at least the lamp genie, because it looks like it's the same, or at least could be the same as the one that is used in Once Proper. Mm-hmm. And so, is Sydney in that one? Or, you know, timeline wise, I don't see that working. So then who is that? Because when Sydney got free and out of that lamp, who then got put in that lamp? Because from Will, we now know that when Cyrus was out of the bottle, then Will got in.
Right.
Does the lamp work the same way? Are we going to see Sydney?
See, what I'm kind of thinking is maybe there's an untold story because we still haven't seen Jafar interact with an Aladdin character at all.
Right.
Like, I think maybe there might be an untold story about, you know, the transfer of power. And I would assume it would be the lamp that looks like the Aladdin lamp that he has. That will contain the genie that connects to Aladdin. But I mean, we still need to see that story, right? That's something I kind of want to see to play out. And also, I wonder, like, did they ever say what happened to Cyrus's mother?
Not yet.
No.
Yes. Just, that I remember.
No, I think it was that she just died because it had been so much time. Like, she aged and died. Like, if he had been looking for his brothers for 100 years, well, you know, you've got to think he's, I don't know, 25-ish or 30. I don't know. I'm really bad judge of age. And I don't imagine that genies age, because, you know, he'd be really, really old. So she had to be probably 50-ish when they got put in the lamps.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a crazy theory. This is completely wrong and completely bad, but the only reason I'm saying it is because I think it might be true just because of the way they write this show. Calling it now. Okay. Jabberwocky is Cyrus's mom. Boom.
Dude, it's so possible.
It's so weak that they just might do it.
Don't want it to happen, but yeah, I can see them doing it.
I could totally see them doing that, especially with how they're kind of like playing kind of less complex riffs on a lot of the themes that Once Proper goes through, and everyone being related is one of those themes for
That's
sure.
That's true. That's so true.
I could totally see them doing that.
Side note, while Googling Jabberwocky, because I didn't really know the Jabberwocky either, also creepy, finally stumbled upon the authors of the writers. I don't know who these people are. They have yet to write an the ones that did this episode have not written an episode for this. Nope, lies. There was two writers, Richard Haddam and Jenny Cow, something like that. Mm-hmm. Richard helped write Forget Me Not, or wrote Forget Me Not with the Bandersnatch. Okay, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good
one. That was.
So all I can say is I'm going to blame Jenny for the badness. And unfortunately, she's coming up for another episode. But the reason we liked Home was Adam and Eddie wrote it.
Yeah. Generally, they're for good.
Yeah. Well, that was the only episode they've written. Or helped write. Oh. And then there was another dude who apparently is just being introduced to the universe because he didn't write any of the others. And that might see, I think that's part of the disconnect with this show. There's no consistency amongst the writers.
Well, it seems to be, in just the general impression I've got, you know, obviously not being anywhere near connected to anything, is that, you know, Adam and Eddie and Jane just kind of like broke out the basic story and then left the B team to it.
Right. So, apparently I'm noticing because Adam, Eddie and Jane wrote the first episode along with Zach Estrin. Well, he is who wrote with Adam and Eddie for the last episode.
Ah.
Okay.
And Jane wrote Bad Blood all about her lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but because they're also, Jane and Adam and Eddie, they're also writing and they're way more invested, I think, in Once Proper.
Right. Oh, no.
This does get a little bit on the back burner. And I do understand that to a point.
Right.
And plus, Wonderland was supposed to be basically a vehicle for, what's his name, Sebastian Stan.
Right.
And then he got busy. And so he wasn't able to do it. I think when I did the press conference thing with Jane, she said something like it was a spinoff written for somebody who wasn't there. So it was way more clever than that, but something along those lines.
Right.
I think Mad Hatter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think everybody wanted to see him for
the Winter Soldier.
Desperately wanted to see him. Yeah, because that character needed explored.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't know, maybe that is part of the inconsistency is a lot of these people are only writing one episode.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not even assisting on another one. Mm-hmm. And obviously I don't have any idea how TV works. I just watch a lot of it.
leads me to believe that they have other more important things to do, maybe. I don't know.
Right. It's just, I don't know, like, because there's a lot, the upcoming episodes are all written in pairs, and the earlier episodes were all written solo, except for the first one and the mid-season finale.
Yeah, see, that almost says to me that not that even that they learned, but just that maybe they're a little stretched thin, with budget and everything else, and they're just kind of having to, you know, double up their efforts and, you know.
Time this week to write Wonderland. We need
exactly. Wonderland. Exactly. It's I'm trying to think of how to say it without cursing.
Is it just a cluster?
That junk job that you give you at the office that you have to do every week and you have to get it out of the way so you can do the stuff that really matters.
Right.
But they did apologize and they did understand, so you know.
They realized that they put it in the wrong slot. They should have never aired it at the same time.
And that's something I don't think we've addressed on the Wonderland proper. One of the big hooby-doobies programming guys at ABC came out, I think, during the upfronts and said that, if he had it to do again, they totally should have run it in the break, in the winter break between, you know, the first and second halves of Once Proper, which is something that we've been saying on this podcast for
Because the hiatus is long.
Mm-hmm. The hiatus was very long. But And we talked about this on, I think, our spoiler party, because that's the week the article came out with the apology. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they'd have been able to, because the reason last year was so broken up, and we've just completely gone away from our outline, and that's okay, I think.
Oh, so fine.
is award season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Award season is the reason the break was so long. The Olympics were why the break was so long, because it was awards, 2 weeks of Olympics with opening and closing being on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So there goes 4 weeks, really. And then more award season.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they'd have even aired it other than to do like a 2 week mini series, which would have actually been kind of cool.
See, what mm-hmm. they should have done is they should have brought in Baba Yaga, the old Russian fairy tale, and then they could have, you know, cross-promoted with the Olympics, and it would have been fine. okay.
But they weren't NBC. They didn't have those rights. Yeah.
The plus point
for that is now is that Once Proper is going to be back for 12 weeks straight.
This is true, and I'm way okay with that. Yes. Oh, I'm way okay with that.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's get back on track, guys. Okay, the Red Queen / Anastasia, I just called it a return here. Like, I thought that, you know, more so than any other episode in the series, we really saw that Anastasia character we got in the couple flashbacks last half season really shining through this episode, you know, when she realized that no one was willing to pay for her to live.
Yes.
When she saw how much everyone, like, legit hated her.
Right.
And just wanted her dead. And, you know, Alice has her issues. She has a lot of trust issues.
Yeah, hence my next point. But we'll
get to that. But I really think Anastasia is, or the Red Queen is being completely straight up here. I mean, right now, at the end of the episode, she has Will, which is something she's been searching for. She has the genie, which is something she's been searching for. Same body, of course. But, you know, she has nothing left to win. So I think that really means she has nothing left to hide. So I think she's being honest that she's going to, you know, help them save Wonderland and, you know, help them beat Jafar and try and prove to them that she's a good person underneath all the bad, 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 bad things she's done.
But I think she still has a way to go, because there's little bits and pieces here and there that you can still see the queen come mm-hmm. through, like her trying to drag herself through the mud. As soon as she got the bottle,
that. I loved her in the mud. Funny. It was like, so that's funny. Perfect.
But also her getting the bottle, there was something in her face that said Red Queen to me.
Yeah.
And then when Will came out, like that changed.
Well, I mean, like, even when she just did, like, the little, like, slide her hand across the bottle thing, that was a very sneaky way to do it.
Yes. Yeah, so she still has a little way to go, but she's coming back, definitely.
Yeah, so I like that, and, you know, all the stuff, because, I mean, the first half of the season, like, I think we had a note pretty much every week, man, the Red Queen, I hate her, except in flashbacks. And this is the first time I've finally seen that character from the flashbacks coming through, so I'm kind of happy about it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Anne-Marie, numero one, you had a point here.
Alice. She was quite the bee, wasn't she?
Yep.
This entire episode, she was just mean. Mm. And she's like, I don't want to go do that. Suck it up and go be a good person. Like, rescue the guy. Hashtag save the knave. Please.
Yes.
She was just so ready to just like, oh, what can we do about the knave? He's gone. I haven't just, you know, spent 6 or 8 episodes searching for a freaking genie across several realms.
Right. And who cares that the knave, you know, realm jumped to save me from the insane asylum.
Which she brings up, right?
Yes.
Yes. I know. And she's like, it was all about her, basically.
Yes. Thank goodness Cyrus, who has never been my favorite character, was like, no, mm-hmm. we need to do this.
Well, we kind of saw that he was a little bit more trusting of her anyway when towards the, I think it was in the finale when she picked him up in the cart and everything and took him, you know, to the rabbit's house and all that. Like he seemed to see some goodness in her, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you know the one thing I thought was really messed up though was that he brought her into the invisible tent. That seemed that if anything inspired Alice's reaction, it might have been that, because that was like their place, right? You know. And just to wake up after she was dead or something, right? So, you know, I have to wake up after being dead, and then there's this woman that has betrayed you once already, and you've been fighting for, you know, the past 3 or 4 episodes, because the characters measure time in episodes like we do.
Right, of course.
But, and she's sitting there in your little invisible love nest in the middle of a field that no one's supposed to know about it except for you and Cyrus. I can see, and she doesn't remember, you know, what went down exactly in the field. I can see her being a little apprehensive at first, but it definitely went on way, way too long.
Yeah. Way, way too long. And it sort of piggybacking on that, her and Cyrus almost seemed uncomfortable with each other at times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
too much time has passed and some of this arc is drained out of it.
But there was also two different things going on, as in Cyrus was going the one way emotionally, wanting to go and save the Nave, and Alice basically was, I want to get out of here with you right now. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like I felt like a silent fight or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we need to talk. We'll catch up.
I think it comes down to, you know, kind of throughout the entire series, Cyrus has always been fighting for the greater good. Alice has always been fighting for her greater good. She's always been fighting to get what she wants out of life, while Cyrus has just been trying to do what's right. You know, so maybe they're seeing a little bit of that in each other and how they're dealing with the whole Nave situation. And, you know, maybe. But although, again, they did get engaged this episode, like officially, when they got interrupted in, you know, the pilot and everything. So there's that too.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things that I think Alice had just so many emotions to play at the same time as well, that as I think the actress itself maybe struggled. I don't know. It's like, you're being back with Cyrus. You haven't seen him and you've been trying to get him back. In the meantime, she's having to deal with the Red Queen now, which she is the enemy, and she's facing death again. And I think all of those different emotions, I don't know. I really felt like she wasn't playing like she would normally play.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely been some indication out there in the press and everything that they kind of took the half season break to kind of rethink where they were going with everything too. So it could have been a situation where there were a lot of rewrites too, and maybe, you know, something that might seem inconsistent was just because it was written for 2 different episodes after one episode got rewritten or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Amory, number 2, your last point here, was there anything else in there that needed addressing?
No, besides Alice being really odd in this episode. I think we've covered that one.
Yes, thoroughly. Okay, and I might have got how they pronounce this wrong, but I guess that brings us to the end of our episode discussion, so I need to come up with an arbitrary scale here.
Anne-Marie,
number 1.
Yes.
Out of 17.5 mum rats.
What's a mum rat?
I believe that's what the monster was called, right?
What monster?
The wolf-like animal.
Yeah, the ones that were attacking them when they were in the thing. So 17.5 mum rats. How many mum rats would you give this episode?
Oh, God. 11 mum rats? And
why?
A set of shining eyes?
That's a point one, by the way. The eyes are
point one. Eyes are a point one?
They are.
Not in Hunger Games, but that's a whole different thing. I was about to say, in this tale, maybe in the Hunger Games, they're a lot more significant. Sorry. I don't know. Like, there was, like we said, there was a lot of progression, kind of. Mm-hmm. But Alice being a complete and total jerk the entire time really bothered me. But again, we love lizards. So I don't know. That's my reasoning. Here's my rationale. Plenty of room for improvement.
Okay, Emery, numero dos. Out of 17.5 mum rats, how many would you give this episode?
Well, it's a good thing Emery reminded me of lizard, because I wanted to go for 5 or something. Okay, I'll make it 9 and a tail.
Nine and a tail. Why? And yeah. I definitely need you to explain what
the tail.
The tail. Yeah.
The fireworks.
The fireworks.
the kiss and the fireworks. I mean, they'll make the tail. I agree. I was just expecting too much, I guess, after such a long break and them ending on such a good note. It was just too slow. Mm-hmm. And I'll be watching the next episode, but I'm kind of disappointed, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, and as for me...
And yourself.
Myself?
Yourself? What do you
think? You guys want to know what I thought? Why?
Yeah.
Every now and then.
No, I'd probably give it... Give it 10 Mum Rats out of 17.5. I think I liked it a little better than Amory number 2 and Amory number 1.
Right.
But
it's only the set of eyes that set us apart.
Yeah, and plus I think I'm kind of giving a lot of things a pass in this show just because of something that we'll actually talk about in our news section coming up here.
Yes.
It has me pretty darn excited. So I might be giving it more of a pass than I would normally. If you excised all the Jafar stuff out of this episode, minus maybe the scene with the Jabberwocky, I'd probably give it like a 14 or a 15. But, it was pretty good.
We didn't really talk about the Jabberwocky too much.
No.
But we only got like, 2 minutes of like really Jabber. Like, there was a lot of talk about the Jabberwocky, but we only got like the last scene with the Jabberwocky. That's it.
And I enjoyed her.
I'm looking forward to the next episode and seeing where they're going.
Oh, definitely. It seems like she's going to be in there pretty heavily.
Yeah.
No, you know what? We'll go right into it and talk about that here in a minute with our section that we all know and love, the news. News. Okay, ratings. It actually tied with the finale. The last original episode aired, and it got an 0.8 adults 18 to 49, and like I said, it matched the most recent episode. So didn't go down, didn't go up. It was pretty even with how we left.
Which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, you think you might lose some people. Well, right. We were talking about this earlier. I think. Like, if there was any sort of, like, minute bump, I was thinking it might be because people got caught up while it was off the air. And some people might have decided not to return, but maybe it all just balanced out to where they kind of broke even on it.
Right.
I almost forgot it came back this week. I knew Once was coming back, but I forgot about Wonderland for a second.
Right. Yeah, I had to remember because I actually thought it was going to be coming back next week.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
That's my original thought. And then I was like, oh, nope. That's not right.
But that was my issue.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no. What was I going to say? I know there's been a lot of speculation over the break about whether Wonderland is going to be canceled or not and stuff, too. I'm pretty sure they intended it for it to be a one season run kind of thing. So
yes, they've always said it was going to be a one season completely closed off story.
Yeah.
So what are they expecting episode wise now?
I think it's I think we have 5 left after this one. So okay. So that would be 14 or 15.
13. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So. I mean, if anything, if the ratings go down too much more, it might, you know, stave off any of those because they were talking about doing a different land for the next year's spinoff thing or whatever. So we might not get that from it. But I think ratings, you know, we don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to be canceled. It's probably just going to run one season. That was the original plan. Amory number 2, we have another story here. It is pretty spoilery. If you want to stick around I don't want you to leave or anything, but if you want to pop your headphones out, I can probably tell you in chat when we're done talking about it.
No, I'll stick around.
Okay. So, come back in about 3 minutes. And we'll have the link in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. But Storybrooke. We have Alice and Cyrus standing in the middle of the street in Storybrooke. Shots from the set. And
wow.
Yeah. So
finally,
it looks like I don't know. They're chatting, and then they see something, and then they see something else, and then it looks like Cyrus has something stuck to his shoe.
Can I go spoilery?
Yeah, you can
wait.
Go
spoilery. So
with something different. Oh, go ahead.
Wait, hold on. So is this Wonderland in Once, or is this going to be on Once and it's Wonderland?
It's hard to say because it was just, you know, someone who lived in Stevenson or whatever took a picture while they were shooting. I will say, though, that the asphalt behind them looks all torn up, you know, Avengers Man of Steel style.
Yeah. Well, the only reason why I was asking is, and I think you mentioned it in one of the previous episodes, is there was way more kind of crossovers in Wonderland towards Once, but in Once they don't go over to Wonderland. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So on the Thursday night episodes, we'll see one stuff. But on the Sunday night episodes, we won't see any of the Wonderland stuff. That's why I was asking.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting, though, if they somehow brought them in for into Once proper. Like, I mean, we've been talking, there has to be a crossover character here. Or, you know, it's all kind of pointless, right?
Yeah. Well, there goes Lizard, though.
This is true. She will not be the
crossover. I don't think she ever had, you know... She'd have been nice to have, but I don't think she'd have been the crossover.
Yeah, I think who have we been betting on? We've been betting on the Knave.
Yeah.
That's just because we want it to be the Knave.
Yes.
I really could do without Allison Cyrus. Yes, I know they're the main characters and the whole point of the show, but I don't want them to cross over. I think the Knave will fit in better.
Yeah.
Knave and Hook. Mm-hmm. Can you see them being buddies? I don't know.
Yeah. And we don't definitely need another queen.
No, but
too many already.
That was going to be my other spoilery thing that I've discovered while I'm playing on the internet while talking.
Okay.
What's all that? Right.
So I'm just going to keep getting spoilers, so just know that. So we've totally forgot the fact that Cora is scheduled to make an appearance on Wonderland.
Yes.
All right. Yes, I heard that one.
Okay. So we have 2 weeks until then.
Oh, so it's definitely happening in 2 weeks then?
It's on March 20th.
Excellent.
Because, and at least by March 20th, they are still in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm. And that will be Barbara Hershey.
That will be Barbara Hershey, because both Barbara Hershey was confirmed for Wonderland, and then Rose McGowan is confirmed on Once.
Right.
Nice.
So maybe, I think this was the only, like, glimmer of hope for me for this season was the fact that they were bringing Cora.
Well, see, that doesn't make any sense, though, because we have next week's episode, which is supposed to be the good one since this one was bad. So the following week's episode
every
should
third
be bad
no,
again.
It's every third. It's every
third. Oh, it's every third?
It's every third.
Okay,
yeah.
Then.
It's
okay.
Literally every third, yeah.
Totally makes sense. Speaking of next week, we also have the trailer here. And basically, it looks like Jafar and Jabberwocky are... You know, working together, the rabbit looks to be making a new appearance. There's a weird zombie lady coming out of the water.
Is that the Lady of the Lake?
It looked like somebody from Once, though.
Yeah, because Lady of the Lake was in Once proper, and it looks more like a ghoul or like a zombie kind of thing going on.
She's coming out of like a well. Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that kind of interests me, though, is this one shot with the two red doors. Because that almost reminds me of the hat,
with the
doors.
And then the Cora coming
this is
up.
True. So that could be very interesting. But you can find a link to that. This version has like three or four different versions of them spliced together where you get a couple different shots and stuff. But at the show notes, greetings from storybrooke.com. Now we'll go ahead and move on to listener feedback. As always, we love hearing from you guys, the listeners. And we always suggest that after you watch the show, run to your computer, email us, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke. The Facebook, which is always hopping, always a lot of activity over there, a lot of interaction with your fellow listeners/oncers at facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, and voicemails, which we love, 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 except when they don't come through properly, which we'll get to in a second, 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, the first voicemail we have here is Bobby from Bradenton. But he called in. He left a nice long voicemail, not too long, perfect length. It was all broken up. I think there was a cell phone malfunction or a cell network malfunction. Didn't get a lot of it, but I just wanted to go over real quick what I could hear he had to say. He said he thought it would be interesting to see how Cyrus became a genie and wants to know what happened to Alice's dad after his last appearance where he kind of got transported to wherever or whatever. You know, see what happened after that. And he also said he was a real big fan of the Jabberwocky twist. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. I think this is the second time that's happened with it. Maybe if you want to, Bobby, just go ahead and send in an MP3 to greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com and we'll just play it from that. You know, because I hate to have your, because you always have great commentary. And I hate to lose it just because, you know, there was a cell tower malfunction or a Google Voice malfunction or something like that. So thanks for calling in. And we have one more voicemail. And this is from Wynn. And we'll go ahead and play it right now and then comment on it.
Jabberwocky's prison had good scenes. As for the Jabberwocky, she's creepy as all get out. I like that she appears to be more powerful than Jafar and has entirely alien motives compared to most of the villains. I don't think Jabberwocky has any interest in ruling the world. She just wants to torment and destroy for her own pleasure. I can't wait for the next episode. The ending of this one was set up much like a role-playing adventure, with the party pursuing a member's personal goal, saving Cyrus's genie brothers, while undertaking a greater quest, freeing Wonderland from Jafar's tyranny. As a gaming writer, that jumped out at me right away. The only thing I didn't like here was the caterpillar, but that's not his fault. He was CGI'd that way.
Thank you, Wynn. As always, very insightful. We love hearing from you. And I really kind of like the comparison you made to the role-playing game. Because I think this show has been a little bit RPG anyway, you know, where they just have different goals and quests and talismans and things they have to gather. And, you know, Alice keeps gaining HP every time she has a big fight. You know,
it's a lot of- true. I never thought about that.
But yeah, and we always love hearing from Wynn. She always has great insights. So thanks again, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn.
Anne-Marie, if you want to read this next letter from Steve Salyer.
Steve. All right.
We know Steve very well. He's always all over the social medias with us.
Absolutely. I love it. All right. Bill and Anne-Marie, I thought this was a really strong episode that made me excited for the rest of the season. Steve. I don't know if I agree with you on this one. sure didn't blame Alice for not wanting to trust Anna, even with her declaration of making Wonderland a better place. I still don't trust her, but should prove to be interesting.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, my point about, you know, her coming back, I can still totally understand why Alice is so untrusting about it. Because, I mean, the Red Queen has been nothing but trouble for Alice since they first encountered each other.
So there's a history. Right. Yes, yeah, they've got a history.
Exactly. And, I think it's probably foolish from like a self-preservation perspective to assume that somebody has changed on a dime like that, even though I think she might have, go ahead, Anne-Marie. Sorry.
Rest in peace, Lizard, killed by her love for Will. So sad that Will wasn't able to explain that he doesn't have a heart before she expired. Excuse me. Jafar put on his knees by the Jabberwocky. Awesome sauce. Jafar better watch his back because she is wickedly evil. I see what you did there. we have her through the rest of the season. The proposal with Alice was what Alice needed as she was having an issue of not getting alone time with her man. Bloody hell. Hashtag save the name. Absolutely.
I think maybe he is contractually obligated to say bloody hell at least once every 5 minutes.
He didn't say it too much, did he?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you know the best thing about that is I'm pretty sure bloody hell is like a really, really obscene like curse over in England proper. Like
that's my friends.
yeah. So like it's just funny that it's just like it's on under the watershed. You know, it's on at 8 p.m. on a network over here, but right. Over in England, you know, they'll show breast on TV and stuff. But bloody hell. Okay, Emery, if you wouldn't mind, could you go ahead and read this next one?
Sure. Okay, this one's from Hope. All right. This is probably my new favorite episode to date. Oh, Hope, we've always disagreed on things like this.
By the way, we released, I believe it was two episodes back, we released a really good we guested over on Hope's Hope of All Trades podcast, talked about Once Proper. Good stuff. Check it out. Go ahead.
See, I was trying to get my yawn in while you were talking. Okay, what a surprise, the Jabberwocky being a woman and not some monstrous creature. So I have a feeling she was another form like Maleficent. I also noticed that she was pinned with a dagger like Rumples. Coincidence? Maybe there's a connection between dark magic and daggers. Will is the best drunk genie ever.
I would just like to say, Hope, that I didn't read your letter beforehand. Those were my points, but we just agreed. So it happens.
Score!
I'm sure Hope understands. Hope understands.
Hope understands. Hope gets it. Hope gets it. I love how he hates the genie motto. Me too. I'm incredibly upset over Lizard dying. She's one of my favorite characters in the show, and I wanted her to be happy. Alice annoyed me the entire time.
Really?
I know she wants alone time with Cyrus, but Will helped her the entire season. She was pretty much like, but I have Cyrus back. Why should I go save this person who risked his life for me multiple times? And I read it like that because I know Hope would have done the exact same thing. I can hear it in her voice. Seriously, girl, priorities. I love the turn in the Red Queen, seeing through the peasants how far she's fallen. It was good character development. I still say that Jafar is more brutal than Rumple, Regina, and Cora combined. His body count is so high. I would say he's the worst of the worst in either show. Overall, I love the episode. Oh, and the caterpillar made an appearance. Woo!
Thank you, Hope. And yeah, I would say Jafar. I think Jafar is probably the most bad person on either series, but probably not in the same way you're saying.
But Jafar doesn't have a moral compass. I think that's it. Like Rumple has Neil, Regina was good at one point, and Cora just didn't have a heart. You know, when her heart was back, it was all good. Jafar has lots of grudges. He's just got a huge grudge.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, most of the other villains, they're villainous. And it generally has something to do with, like, love lost or unrequited love, or it's anger over something not being good. With Jafar, he's just all messed up because his daddy tried to kill him. So he just doesn't care. Like, you've never seen any potential in him to be good.
No. And even when you thought he had a love, he killed her.
Yeah.
Like, he got rid of her as soon as he could.
Well, but he carries her around in a staff.
I still don't think he loves her, though. Well, I think it was all for the purpose. Yeah, it was all for the purpose to getting back at Daddy.
Well, yeah.
Mm. You can be self-centered and sentimental at the same time, I guess.
I guess so.
So we had a couple of comments over on the Facebook. I'll go ahead and first one's from Holly. And she says, awesome episode, and I can't wait to see how things play out with the Jabberwocky. And with the lizard as well.
What?
No, she said how things play out with lizard, but we saw lizards kind of played out.
Lizards, Don Holly. I'm sorry.
Rip lizard, best character on the show. And Amy says, I was so upset with Alice. The fact that she didn't want to go after the knave after everything he's done just really didn't sit well. It was very selfish, and I had never viewed her like that before. And I believe we've all said throughout this episode, Alice seemed just a little off in her characterization, right?
Right.
And here, Emery, I'll go ahead and let you take this last one. This one is Martine, who will be joining us in 2 weeks for Wonderland as our guest. So, and she'll be a new guest too, I think.
Yes.
So it'll be a great, great time. You can follow her on Twitter at Hot Air Balloon, by the way. But Emery,
one L.
Yeah.
Oh no, two L's. You typed it wrong.
I typed it wrong. Yeah.
Way to be. I'm putting the L in for my own sanity. Okay. I really enjoyed tonight's episode. Probably one of my favorite Wonderland episodes up to date. That's why I'm sorry for not being able to construct a coherent theory, but here are some things that might be interesting to discuss or for further analysis. Really need to rewatch some of the old episodes. First, I don't think the title fits the episode at all. Nothing to fear. Two, because they I was wondering that too. Because they brought the history of Jafar and his father up again, I think that there has to be something really important left between them that made the father hate him so much and that motivates Jafar so vigilant in his pursuit to unite the three genies to get some form of revenge. Three, Lizard.
I kind of think that the whole thing with Jafar's father is at first he just hated him because he was a bastard. And now he just realizes, you know, what evil he's wrought upon the world. And he, right. You know, that's why he says in this episode, yeah. So the world would be a better place if I'd succeeded or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I also think originally, because of the way that the stories are, I always connected it to cultural, because I'm thinking there was another real son. And it's like, I'm going Middle Eastern culture. That totally makes sense to me. I don't know if they were playing it that way, but for the dad not loving Jafar at all, I mean, it wasn't his real son. It wasn't the firstborn. He was a nothing. It totally made sense when they played it that way.
Yeah, where if, you know, he hadn't had another son and this was, Jafar had been a potential heir, it might have shaken out completely differently.
Yeah.
Right. Three, Lizard seemed very drunk on power when she got her three wishes.
And drunk on fear.
And its curiosity killed the cat in the end. Hopefully there is something important about her death. Otherwise, I don't get why her infatuation with Will was at all important. Four, I always love the once twist, but what they have done with the Jabberwocky. No! I thought after the Red Queen Vegas showgirl wardrobe fail, they would have learned. But no, I like that she is a woman and she is a great, intriguing character. Her powers make for very interesting potential for the next few episodes. I hope we get more information soon on her gift. If it is mind control inducing the illusion of physical pain, or if she is actually torturing them. I suspect is the illusion of pain by making them re-experience trauma. Love the podcast, Marchie.
Yeah, and I definitely, that's kind of what I picked up too, was that she was, you know, basically making Jafar relive that moment. And
yeah.
he was even having the physical signs of it, like grabbing at his chest, like he couldn't get air into his lungs and stuff like that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that develops. Like we said earlier, you know, if there's a transformation in there, if she turns into some dragon or some kind of monster, it might make it a little better for us fans of the OG Jabberwock, as it's known in the trades.
That's how it's known?
It is. It definitely is. But, you know, as always, we love to have you guys write in. And, you know, it helps us stretch out the end of the show. And we get to hear what you think. And it's great, great stuff. You can write us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Tweet us @GFStorybrooke. Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number, which we'll always play, as long as it doesn't break up too much like Bobby's did today, 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, let's see here. Anne-Marie, do you have anything else?
No.
No? Okay.
Do you have anything else?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing I have is to say that my answer is no to your question.
Interesting. So, Anne-Marie, number two, do you have anything else?
I do not.
We want to thank you so much, Anne-Marie,
yes,
number two, for coming on this
fun.
Week. Oh, definitely. It's always a blast. And we'll have, even if we have another guest scheduled, which I think we're almost booked up already for the rest of the episodes for Wonderland.
Yes, so thank you.
Yeah, but we'll definitely try and have you back on for the last episode of the season, just to keep that synchronicity going.
Absolutely.
Where can people follow you on Twitter and all that stuff?
Twitter, @N_AnnLee.
Excellent, excellent. And we'll have that in the show notes, too. Yeah. And let's see here. I guess, you know, we'll be back next week with Wonderland. I believe Tim Peters is our guest. He's been on one of our spoiler parties for the main podcast before. And
it'll be good to get to talk to him. It's been a while.
Definitely. I talk to him on Skype every once in a while. He messages me over there, and it's always a good conversation. You know, you can get show notes for this episode, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Also, check out our Once Proper podcast over there. And I'm on Twitter. I'm Bill Meeks, Google Plus, google.com/plusbillmeeks. And you can check out my superhero adventure novels at dogboyadventures.com. Anne-Marie?
You can find me on the Twitters @AMDSimone.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I guess that's it. We're back in the old saddle. A little rusty, a little worse for the wear, a little worse for the hiatus. But I think we pulled out about an 85% to 90% episode.
I'll take an 85%. Yes.
Yeah. So pretty good. Pretty good. So I guess, you know, until next week. Greetings
from Wonderland.
Stan.
Brooke.
Well, pretty soon it might be
greens from Storybrooke for both of them.
Might.